Hey, this is Ray Roborn, guitarist for the X-Ray Men. You're listening to the Wild Man and Steve Show.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
Smaller scale, obviously on a smaller scale now, but really it's obviously not about the money anymore. And so those that are still doing something, it is about the music, right? They are still trying to do something because, hey, the bug is still there. The creativity is still there. But yeah, corporate pretty much kills everything.
Yeah. And you know, you made a great point, and I talk about that in the book, is the bands. You know, the bands didn't have to agree with what was said, but they wanted to play along to stay successful, to keep getting that money, to keep getting that. So everybody was almost seduced by the success and the fame and all that kind of money and all that kind of stuff. So the bands have to be responsible as well. They could have said no, but they didn't.
Well, and if you look at, again, you think about this, particularly the decade of the 80s, you really did have the rise of real middle-class affluence. You've got really the rise of teenagers with disposable cash in a way that you really hadn't had before, coming out of the 70s and into the 80s. And so it just is also that time. It was a very materialistic culture. Madonna was right, right? A material girl. And that defined everybody. So, yeah.
Hey, I just realized this. You don't have a tux on. I thought you had a tux on. Do you wanted to show us?
Busted. I don't have it.
All right, so you've been doing this podcast. It's funny because just about as long as we've been doing ours, you've been doing yours. And early on, we had each other on because we had the same interests. So just putting this question out there for our listeners, what would you say is the biggest shock that you learned from all the artists that you've interviewed?
Whoa. Wow, that's a really good question. You know, I don't really know, because I think with a lot of it, maybe it was that peek behind the curtain. You know what I mean? Because I think, you know, and the book kind of gets into this too a little bit, is that, you know, here I am just this fan as a kid, and I'm idolizing these people and I'm reading the liner notes. And then, you know, then when you kind of get to really talk to these people, for first it humanizes them, which is kind of cool, because true, they're just regular people like you and I. I get that peak of, like, you know, here I thought everything was great, but really it wasn't. I hated that guy, or you know, the band members, they didn't like each other, or like are being forced to do things by label. So I think that was probably one of the most shocking things, is to find out like what really was going on. So did you guys find the same thing in your journey?
Yeah. I would say there's definitely similarities there about what it was. I did notice one thing. I don't know that this will be a shock, but I think Steve might agree that the theme from the musicians from the 70s and 80s and their irritation with modern day music always seems to come out. you know, no matter which direction you go, they talk about how it's just not what it used to be. That's some of it. I don't know, Steve, what do you think?
I think on our show, because we deal primarily with Christian artists, I think the biggest shock for me has been to hear how those artists felt used often, not served well by maybe even a Christian label, or I'd say maybe a church or a Christian venue that they played for. And I think that was a surprise for me. I certainly didn't realize that, but no, I think that's a consistent theme. Some of it is age, gentlemen. We all complain about those daggum kids today. You know, I mean, there is that, but you know, and again, I think we've touched on it perhaps Wildman, but I remember a while back Rick Beato had an episode on his YouTube channel where he was talking about why does, or particularly I think why do people our age not like the music of today? And part of what he was talking about, he said there are actually some definable musical reasons for that. And one of them had to do with complexities of rhythm. And he said, if you go back and look at 60s and 70s, and maybe even into the 80s, some of that rock, you really had a lot of different stuff going on rhythmically within the same song. Mm. Whereas now, there's this general leveling out of things, and not that it's flat in terms of the notes are flat, but there is a flatness to the song, and it just doesn't engage the ear and the interest the way that, you know, when to be honest, when music was really becoming new, that style of rock and roll music becoming new, you just don't have that anymore.
Yeah. You know, something else that if I may just step out on my soapbox for a moment is that I've shared before that it's hard for me to be critical of any music, to be honest, because I've been in the studio. I've played like in a band the same way that Mike has. And I know the time and determination it takes to do something, to accomplish something. And especially when you look back on the 80s, and one of the themes of the 80s was the harmonized guitar solos. Okay, so you have two guitar solos doing harmony together. Oz Fox, Michael Sweet, I believe were the experts at it. They did great. And Michael even said in his book, honestly, that they used to spend hours working on one solo, just hours, matching it up, getting the right harmony at different parts. And I don't think that the common listener understands how much had to go in to that production of what they listened to. And that's where I think to go back a bit in our discussion, that's where some of the frustration might be from some of the musicians. Yes, they should have taken responsibility, but a lot of these guys were, 20, 21, and agents were taking them, and they thought and they were the ones putting the hours in. So it's no wonder we ended up with some of them coming out with this angst, like, you know what? I don't care, because now I worked for all this money and now it's gone. You know, all of that happened, or the promises that were made, all of that took place. Hey, everybody, Wildman here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Steve, we were supposed to say it together.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, let's try again. Hey, everybody, Wildman here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock. Steve, what is the problem?
I just don't like how you're doing this.
How I'm doing what?
Hello, everyone. Wildman here. It's like, hey, this is my show, and Steve is just my sidekick.
Really? You're going to go there now? After all we've been through? The amazing artists we've interviewed? Over 140 podcast episodes? 20,000 downloads? Really? After 3 years of Mr. Segway? Really? You're going to go there now?
Okay, I guess you're right.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, everyone.
Steve here, and you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Radio.
Wow. Just wow. So there's a lot that we can get into with all of that. But I'm curious also, Mike, just to ask you about your podcast. Was there one in particular artist that you thought, man, I hope someday I could get him on, and were you able to do it?
Well, you know, of course, you know, some of my favorite bands, and sadly, like some of my, you know, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley will probably never happen. So, you know what I mean?
Well, they're probably listening right now. So, Gene, why don't you go ahead and connect with Mike? Actually, Steve plays cards with him every Thursday night. So
I'll just tell Gene at Thursday night cards. Yeah.
I think the one, though, and I'll try to keep it so this isn't a huge story, but one of the people that I really wanted to talk to was John Oliva from the band Sabotage, who went on to create the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So I didn't think he doesn't do a lot, at least around when I got going, he wasn't doing a lot of interviews. He was kind of reclusive a little bit. So I thought to myself, like, how will I get this guy? And I actually took like the back door approach or the long road approach. So I basically, what I did was I started interviewing all the other members of Sabotage, right? And kind of just show them what a fan I am and how much I'm into these guys and I'm a good guy, right? So finally I get to the original drummer, Doc Wackles, and him and I kind of consider him a friend. I hope he considers me the same way, because we do talk. We talk off and on all the time, you know. And I just kind of, after we did our interview together, I was like, you know, do you think John would ever talk with me? You know, he just kind of took that bold step hopefully he did cross the line, right? He's like, you know, let me see what I can do. And he goes, send an email to this email. And then boom, then all of a sudden it happened. And that was a big interview for me. That Blabbermouth picked it up and all these big sites. And there was a lot of cool stuff in there. So that was one of those ones where I was a real big fan all throughout my life. And like I said, and I really worked hard, and I probably had to interview like three or four guys from the band to get the main man, you know? So that's probably the one where I'm most proud of having that interview, because that was so, I still am big into Sabotage. And like I said, that path that I took to get there, I paid my dues for that one.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. We've had those as well. And man, sometimes you really have to talk to the right person who knows somebody who knows somebody. And if you wait it out, eventually they're going to go get there. We've had to go through some agents sometimes where everything was good, then the agent put the brakes on. But I'll just say this without mentioning names on this one. One that we were after for a while, it almost happened, and then the agent stepped in and said no. So we gave it about a year. We emailed the agent and I said, hey, wanted to see if there's an option. Our show has grown. These are the ones we have had over the last year. And that's all it took. As soon as they saw the other names, they're like, well, wait a minute, we got to get him in there then, you know? So
Oh, I did that card many a time. Used to list, I talked to this guy, this guy, this guy. He must be legit.
And it's exactly. And I think that's fair, because let's be honest.
Yeah.
Wayne's World pointed out any two doofuses on a couch in the basement can have a show, right? And so do you really want your artist to be on that show? Once you get a little credibility, and that certainly helps. So I'm not going to put you on the spot with a name only one kind of thing, but I'm of new albums that are out by our classic 80s glam artist. And we'll say over the last, you know, 2-3 years, whatever, any projects you've been particularly excited about when they came out, or that, you know, are in the works coming out soon.
I would say two of the big ones that were new that I thought were just great, that really blew me away. One is the most recent Angel album. I think it's called Once Upon a Time. And I thought that album was great. It took a few listens. And I always preach this on my podcast. You've got to go back to the mindset that you had when you were younger. You bought a CD for $17 and you listened to it all week until you liked it. If you didn't like it after the week, well, then fine, put it away. But you know, nowadays it's like, stream it. Oh, I don't hear it. And you're just, we're getting hit with a lot of stuff. And granted, in our personal lives, like with you guys, we're doing a podcast, we got families, we got jobs, you know, we're getting hit with all kinds of stuff. But I thought that the newest Angel album was really good. And I thought Striper's Final Battle was amazing. I love it. So those are two that are really good. I know Judas Priest has something that's coming. I wasn't enthused with the new song that I heard, I'm being honest, but I'm curious to see what the rest of the album is like. I'm always willing to give the classic artists a chance, you know. Yeah. What I mean, just to see what they've, I know Motley Crue has been cooking up some new music. I'm always down for that too, so you know, who knows. So I'm always very open to it, but probably those two, the Striper and the Angel, are the best ones I've heard. What about you guys?
I'll be honest, the Striper took a while to grow on me, and I'm, as Wild Man knows, and any of our listeners know, and I'm crazy go nuts for Striper. And for some reason, it took me several listens before it finally clicked. Now I refer to it as my hair metal comfort food. When I just want to throw in something and just listen while I'm driving, it's that album. It has become that for me. So I want to go back to the way you were talking about how we used to listen to music. And just when you said that, it really reminded me. Of course, back in the day, even before CDs, it was cassettes. And I remember listening to a cassette, either on my jam box or my Walkman. And, you know, rather than fast forwarding to a song or whatever, I would kind of almost force myself a little bit of discipline. Go ahead and listen to the whole side, even though the one you really want was on the other side. Go ahead and listen to the whole side, then turn the tape over and listen. So I really then knew whole albums very, very well like that. I'm just curious for all of us, have our listening habits changed, whether it's CD or it's ripped or it's streaming? Do you still tend to listen to whole albums and in order, or do you cherry pick or put together the playlist and randomize? How do you guys listen to your music?
Go ahead, Wild Man. What do you do?
Well, I mean, I've actually gone down all the roads because I'm a tech guy and I love technology and I love getting things quick. But man, I tell you, recently, the last few years, I've had a revival back to CDs and back to vinyl. Now the convenience of listening to streaming is amazing. And I wish I had that back in the 80s. And I use that most of the time when I'm driving. But I think that because of the era that we come from, this is just what I'm going to, and I'll let Metal Mike chime in here. I think that the era that we come from, that we naturally listen to, we listen for the concept. We listen for the album because we're used to listening that way. And even now, when people put out music now, especially independent artists, they have told me, they've told us on our show, that the way to do it nowadays is you don't release an album. You release a single with a video once a quarter. That's pretty much how it is. So like four songs a year, and that's how you get the connection. That's how people don't listen to albums like they used to, other than people from our era who are used to doing it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I still have a CD player in my car, and I still have a lot of CDs. So sometimes, I will just jam on an album, you know, during the week, back and forth to wherever I'm going or whatever. But then I have a huge playlist called the Ultimate 80s Glam Metal Playlist on Spotify. Probably has like 600 songs. That's like my comfort food. You know what I mean? Sometimes I put that thing on random, and it's great, you know? So I do love that. I can go either way, but I know what you're saying. There is that theme, you know, that of a way an album sounds, the whole thing, all songs. You're right. That's our generation. We're always going to be like that. And there's always times, whether that be on Spotify or the physical disc, that I want to hear that whole album, but I'm totally down with the playlists. They're all good. I've got different ones. I've got a really cool one that's all 90s for the hair bands.
Yeah.
A little bit more heavier because everybody was a little then, you know. I've got one like that, and I love that one too. So yeah, it's fun to play around with Spotify.
Yeah, well, you know, it's something else to chime in there. Just a thought that came to me while you and Steve were talking just a few minutes ago. You know, when you were talking about the bands that are coming out, they have reunion tours or they're having new releases, and like Stryper's a good example. Rat's a good example. George Lynch, you just had him on. You had him on the podcast recently. He's a good example. And I get into the new stuff. I do. I listen to it. I'm excited. Hey, did you hear there's a new, but I tell you, and you tell me what you guys think. This, I'm just going to say what I think. I've been down that road so many times. I'm so excited. Hey, they're doing something new. Here it is. I listen to it and I listen to it. And I love it. It's amazing. Then I'll just slip in the one that was big in the 80s, slip that one in. And then I just say to myself, man, there's no comparison, man. that maybe it's the nostalgia. I'm not sure, but part of me looks at it going, nothing. They can't compete with what they did back then. That's kind of the approach that I'm, or the perspective that I get. What do you guys think?
You're talking about comparing new work from 80s artists with the work they did in the 80s?
Correct.
It depends on the artist, I think. And again, I know it seems like we're just harping on Stryper a lot here, but Stryper really has two different catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And a lot of fans will talk about that. You go from their very beginning through In God We Trust,
mm-hmm.
maybe Against the Law. Mm-hmm. But then the 2000s stuff is, to a lot of us, it bears the marks of the 80s, but is a significantly different, certainly in terms of production.
Right.
But also I think, and especially in a couple of the later albums here, I think Michael Sweet's writing has gotten even better.
Mm-hmm.
Using that as the one example, I guess I listen to the albums from those kind of two halves of their career very differently. I listen to the early albums through the ears of nostalgia. I listen mm-hmm. to it through my 80s teenage self. Every once in a while, I'll catch myself listening to one of those songs and almost listening to it fresh. And I'm going, oh, well, that's really kind of neat. But I'm almost always listening through memory. The contemporary stuff is just contemporary. I listen to them very differently. So I don't necessarily compare and contrast them, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm comparing or contrasting like in a purposeful way, but I've listened to all the new Stryper stuff and I love it. Goddamn Evil would be my favorite of all their new catalog. But if I go back and I just hear the song To Hell With the Devil, I'm sold. I can't go back. You know what I mean? It's just, and it could be the nostalgia, but there's something, and I know the musicianship is tighter. The production is tighter, all of that. I get all that, but going back to that, it's like, boom, there it is.
I'll give you a counter on that. And this goes back to the episode I did with you, Metal Mike, is Whitesnake. And back when we did the episode, I don't believe Flesh and Blood had come out yet. Which was, and I probably will be, their last really, studio album of new music, blew me away. I love Flesh and Blood. It just, oh my goodness. Much better than Good to Be Bad, better than Forevermore, some of their 2000-ish albums. Easily stood up to the 87 album in my mind, and in some cases maybe a few songs could have even been better. So
exactly what you're saying. I've done that same exact thing, because like you know I really hesitate to pinpoint a certain band or anybody. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I know exactly what you're saying. But like, give an example. Let's say it's a modern album by the classic band. The guy's voice just isn't as good anymore. The production isn't as good. The songwriting's not that good. All right, I'm done with this. I'm going back to their 1987 album. You know what I mean? So I know exactly. I've done that a million times. Like, you're trying to be a good fan, and you're listening to this, but like, you're in the mood for this band, but you're not in the mood for this version of this band. You want to go back to the old school. I've done that numerous times. Totally know exactly what's talking
about. Yeah, yeah.
Steve, what do you think?
Wild, man. All I can say is, wow. So this is where the magic happens.
Yes, it is. Can you believe it? Wild Man and Steve, finally on live radio.
Classic Christian rock radio, that is.
Exactly. Hey, come over here. Let me show you this.
Okay.
What do you think?
This is a broom closet.
You might see a broom closet, buddy. This is your future office.
You're kidding.
Nope. The station manager posted the plans over here on the wall. Take a look at what this broom closet will be after the remodeling is done.
Dude, this is awesome. My own office.
Yep. Isn't it great? Hey, I gotta take a call. Excuse me for a second, okay?
Oh, sure, sure. I can't believe this. The plans for my office look great. Hey, wild man. I think you accidentally locked me in here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wild Man Show.
Wild man, come on now. This isn't funny. Wild man. Listen to the Wild Man Show every Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. His show includes classic Christian rock and metal bands, as well as current bands with that great classic rock sound. It may also include me occasionally, if he ever lets me out. Hey, wild man, come on.
And that's why I kind of fall on the line of just altogether the 80s glam movement. As we started the show off tonight with this discussion, it really can't be recreated, you know, and that's what I think we want to see happen. And maybe it could possibly, I mean, who knows, miracles can happen, but it was at such a high acceptance, high promotion era that, you know, I think part of me, at least, I want to see that come back.
Well, it was still new. That. Look, it was still new. What you had in the 50s was brand new, right? Nothing like rock and roll when it hit in the 50s. Then what started happening in the 60s, just an absolute explosion of folk and psychedelic and hard rock, and then morphed into metal and blues rock, and you had the first British invasion and the second British invasion, and it's just a prolific creativity continued in the 70s, and I think continued in the 80s, and then maybe there's no more music to create that is truly new like that. Now it's just variations on a theme, perhaps.
Yeah, I can see that. So Metal Mike, tell us, where do our listeners go to obtain this great work of A Hair Metal Journey?
The Hair Metal Journey is on Amazon. That's the best place to get it. It exists in the Kindle form, if you're into that, or if you actually want a real book to put in your hands, you can do that as well. But they print them on demand, and that's the best place to go to get the book. And like I said, the book, you know, in a lot of ways is just a celebration of the podcast. You know what I mean? So if you ever were into this podcast and you like all the bands that we've been talking about, whether it be Stryper, Whitesnake, Yngwie Malmsteen, any of that kind of stuff, the Dokken guys, you know, I've talked to all those guys. You know what I mean? It's all in the book. And, another thing that really happens in the book, too, is I kind of just touch on a lot of nostalgia, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, you talked about, I like this song because it reminds me of the old days. That's what we do in the book. You know, I go into the posters and the t-shirts and everything that we did. Tuesdays, had to go to the record store on Tuesday to get the new release, you know? Yeah. It's all the old things that are kind of all gone in a lot of respects. You know what I mean? A lot of those old ways of doing things don't exist. Yes, you can still go to a concert. You can do a lot of things, but you know, there was that excitement. You might be able to meet a band, you know what I mean? Without paying thousands of dollars for a meet and greet. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just simpler times, you know, and that's what the book celebrates.
Well, my plug for your book is this. So listeners, listen up. If you were the fan back in the day who actually read the liner notes, even in the cassettes, if you were the fan who went to the concert and in addition to getting the t-shirt, you got the tour book. If that's the kind of fan you were, then the Hair Metal Journey book is for you. So it's awesome, man. It's right up our alley. And I'm sure really would be great for a lot of our listeners.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to add too is that, you know, it's a clean book. It's not a book that it's you can read it with your kids. It's not an obscene book. So if you know, I'm sure that some of your listeners think about that kind of stuff. I know I do. You know what I mean? So yeah, you can feel good about this book. You won't go into this thinking like, oh, there's a lot of smut or swearing. No, not at all.
So in other words, middle-aged dads, granddads, you can read this as a bedtime story to your children and your grandchildren.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so, sweetie. Can you say Brittany Fox?
So what are do you have any concrete plans right now for the future of the 80s Glam Metal podcast? Or you're just going to keep going as is and just keep booking artists?
Yeah, just keep going. The way I'm at right now is just keep doing what I'm doing. I got a lot of different ideas of things that I want to do. And I think for the coming new year, the plan is to start putting together an idea for a second book and try to get more artists that can help me fill in the blanks, because there are a few key albums. I've got this thing kind of sketched out, you know what I mean, for a part two. And there are some key albums that I really love, but I don't have any information from the artists themselves. So I think that's going to be my goal in the new year. But for me, I really think some of my favorite albums by the classic artists came out in the 90s. Even though the heyday was the 80s, I do think they got better. You know, the sound production. You know, like we said, when you go back and you listen to Against the Law versus To Hell with the Devil, you might like To Hell with the Devil better, but the sound quality is so much better on the Law. And you can do that with all, but you go back, listen to Kiss Revenge versus, you know, Lick It Up or something. You know, same thing with Whitesnake. You get to Slip of the Tongue, but go back and listen to some of those earlier albums, you know, the bluesier albums. The production just got better once we hit like 89, 90 and beyond. So I love those albums, and that's where I want to go. Dig a little bit deeper in that lost era that doesn't get much attention.
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on that the last time we were together, was that era, the late 80s and early 90s, it was like you got the mature version of the band and their musicianship as well as the production. That's why a lot of them peaked at that level. And that's when things started to go down south, which was sad to see it going away. So anyway, it is now time for Wild Man's On the Spot question. So we always put our guest on the spot with Wild Man's question. Now, this is going back to my memory. If my memory holds me correct, I believe that this question is really right up your alley from our last time we talked. So, Metal Mike, if you could have just one and only one superpower, which one would you take and why?
Wow, that's a good one. And the hard part is, you know, when Steve was talking about superheroes, you know, I started thinking about superheroes just because he mentioned superheroes. And if the superhero that I always go to is Batman, but he doesn't have any superpowers.
Right.
But then in one movie, I believe it's Justice League, right? He says, what's your superpower? Right. The Flash says it to Batman, and Batman is I'm rich. So I guess in the spirit of Batman, let's go with being rich.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, that's why he got into podcasting, because if it wasn't for the money, Steve and I wouldn't be doing this. Oh, well, hey, thank you so much for being on again. This is great. So, ladies and gentlemen, go to Amazon, search for the book, A Hair Metal Journey. Is the author for Amazon, is the author listed as Metal Mike?
Yes. Okay. Metal Mike is the author.
Yes, right. A Hair Metal Journey by Metal Mike, and you will not be disappointed. Check out his podcast, 80s Glam Metal. You can see him all on social media and listen to him wherever you get your podcast as well. So thank you. Any parting words for us at all, Metal Mike? Anything you'd like to say to us or to our listeners?
You know, just like I said, thanks for everybody listening to this. And everybody who's already bought the book is much appreciated. And it's great to talk with you guys again. It's been a while. Don't be strangers. Let's try to do some more stuff in the future. And it was great talking about this stuff with you as always. A lot of things came out that, you know, that I really didn't expect. So it's always fun. You never know where conversation is going to go. And that's what's always fun about interviewing these artists. You never really know what they're going to say or where the conversation is going to go. So this was good.
It was an honor to once again talk with Metal Mike. It's always great to talk with somebody from the same era and the same genre of somebody that we share the same taste in music and in faith. What I love the most about Metal Mike, and this came out in the interview as well, is that his podcast, he really has been diligent to get the word out about the importance of music and the importance of fans connecting around the music that they like. That's really what life is about, is us connecting, and that's what music does. It's the same thing that Christ did for us. The goal of Christianity is for all believers in Christ to connect and be able to know each other because they know Him. In order for us to grow closer together, we have to grow closer to Christ. By growing closer to Christ, that will bring us all closer together. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.